invite your attention now to a couple of verses of Scripture that will be found in 1 John chapter 3. The Scripture says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now that's my scripture lesson for this morning, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I have chosen as a lesson or as a subject for today, God's love for sinners. God's love for sinners. And I would like to ask everyone in the viewing audience to pray for me as I try to speak to you for a little while. Especially if you haven't made peace with God in your own life, I would like to ask that you listen very carefully to the Word of God today. I read a story one time about a young man who was attending a Bible school, and he stood up and he announced that he did not believe in God. And his professor asked him, "Would you describe the God that you don't believe in?" And so he said, "God is vengeful." Said he's always looking for an opportunity to punish people, you know. And he's even threatened us with the possibility of dying and going to a place of everlasting torment. And the professor said to him, "Son, I don't believe in that God either, you know." He said, "The God that I believe in is a God of love." And I want you to listen today, because God is a God of love. God is the one who Brother Strode sang about that's bigger than you and I. And you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, in the 18th chapter, the Apostle Paul was at Mars Hill in Athens, Greece. And Paul was speaking to those people. Before I get that, though, I want to mention this in there. You know, this verse of Scripture that I read, this first one, he said, "Behold." Now, that means to observe. That means to take notice. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And that has reference... the manner of love has reference to the kind of love and the way that God manifested his love toward the human family. And he says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not." Do you know that the world does not understand Christian people? The world doesn't understand why we are so devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't understand why that we go to church every Sunday, you know, and why we pray and why we worship him. They don't understand why that we give our offerings and tithes to the Lord. They don't understand. And the reason they don't understand is because they don't know him. Now, I want you to listen again. I'm going to read this verse once again. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not." They just don't understand it, you know. And it says the reason they don't understand is because they knew him not, or they know him not. And so... as we think about the love of God this morning, the Apostle Paul, as I said, was down at Athens, Greece, and he was waiting for his companions to join him on a missionary journey. And he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And he was moved in his spirit. And we should all be concerned and be troubled, you know, about people that don't know the Lord. And so they asked him to tell them more about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When they heard that, you know, they said, "We want to hear more." And so he began to speak to them. And he said, "I want to speak to you about the unknown God." They had an altar with the inscription "to the unknown God." He said, "I want to tell you all about the God that you don't know." Well, that's what I want to do this morning. I want to tell people about the God that they don't know, because He is a wonderful God. He is a God of love, and He's a God of mercy. And anyway, the Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he says this: "God that made the worlds and all things that are therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And He hath made of one blood all nations of people to dwell upon the face of the earth. And He hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Listen, "that they should seek the Lord and feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are His offspring." So the God that made the heavens and the earth, in Him we live and move and have our being. He gives us breath and life and all things. And He is a wonderful God. He does all of these things because He loves the human family. God created man in the beginning, and He formed his body from the dust of the earth. And then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we read in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, and also in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it says behold, what manner of love. No, that's not the way that verse starts. But it says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, and He was crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. You see, God does love His creation, and He wants what's best for every one of us. I assure you that. God, He wants us to have a good life, and He wants us to enjoy life, and He wants us, to come to know Him in the forgiveness of sins. He wants everyone to seek the Lord and to feel after Him and to find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You know, we maybe have a tendency to think that God is in some faraway place, you know. But through the Holy Spirit, the Lord is present with us at all times. And so He wants us to feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. There are many benefits to being a child of God. And I want to turn over to the book of Psalms. And in the 103rd division of the Psalms, I want to maybe this will help to explain a little bit more the 103rd division of the Psalms. It'll explain a little bit more about why, you know, we should honor God and recognize God and seek God and serve God. Now, he said, the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And then he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not of all of His benefits." You know, there are many benefits are ours because we are the sons of God, you know. He mentions these benefits. He said, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" You know, God is a loving and a merciful God, and He will forgive sin. He will forgive all of our sins. And He will, as the psalmist said in this same chapter, he said that He will, as far as the east is from the west, He will hath removed our transgressions from us. He will put our sins behind His back. He'll put them in the sea of forgetfulness, and they will never be remembered against us anymore. Now, that's one of the benefits of being a son of God or a child of God. He goes on and he said, "Who healeth all of thy diseases?" You know, the Lord Jesus, He healed many people while He was here in the world. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still has the same power that He ever had. And then we continue to notice some of the benefits. He said, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles?" And so in verse 8, I want you to notice this as well. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So there, those are just some of the benefits, you know, of being a child of God. And so we notice then some other things about this. Paul said, "I am a debtor." You know, he had been at one time a persecutor, a blasphemer. You know, he didn't know the Lord. And though he was very religious, he still didn't have a personal relationship with God. He didn't have a personal experience at one time. But then as he was traveling on the Damascus Road, God spoke to his heart. And he was saved. And he related that experience many times. And I won't take the time to go into all of that today. But he... Paul said that he obtained mercy because he did those things ignorantly and in unbelief. But then later the Lord, after he had been saved, he called him to preach the gospel, and he made him an apostle unto the Gentiles. And so Paul, in fulfilling that commission that the Lord had given to him, he wrote to the Romans in the first chapter of the book of Romans in verse 16. And he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And that had reference not only to the Jews who were God's chosen people by a covenant relationship, but it had reference to the heathens, to the people who were not the people of God. And so the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And, you know, the gospel, if we could just get people to understand, this is what my burden for today is this, you know. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God has gone to the extreme limits to try to reach people and to try to get them to turn from their sins and try to get them to turn to God and then to live for God and to be a witness for God, to share what the Lord has done with them. It's really important that we do so, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, you see, to everyone that believeth. Now, there are a lot of people that don't believe, and there are a lot of people that refuse to believe. They say, "I won't believe," you know. And that's their choice. They can do that, you know. God being the loving and merciful God that He is, He will allow people to exercise their own will. You know, and people can die and go to hell, you know, if they're so inclined to do so. God will let them do it, but it's not His will. The Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He wants to save to the uttermost all that will come unto Him. Now, I started to mention this. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he said this. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, who is the devil, Satan, the wicked one, hath blinded their minds, lest they should believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Satan blinds the minds of people. I thought about this. How would you explain the beauty of a rose to someone who is blind, you know? I don't think that it's, you know, humanly possible to convey the beauty of a rose to a person who cannot see. And well, it's almost that way with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get people to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when their minds have been blinded by Satan? And when they're so filled with the world and the pleasures of the world that they just absolutely refuse to come to God. They refuse to go to church. They don't want to be around people who worship and serve God. They'd rather be with the rowdy crowd, you know, than to be with God's people. But anyway, I want to read from the from this fourth chapter of the Gospel, or the book of John, the Epistle of John. And it said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You see, we talked about those who know not God. But you know, when a person is saved, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and rejoice in the grace wherein we stand. He talks about this, and I'm going to have to turn to that. And look at it in order to share it with you. In the fifth chapter of the book of John. And he said, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So he says that not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work of patience, and patience hope, and hope experience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so when we're saved, God reveals Himself to us. He fills our hearts with love. And He puts His Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we know that we're children of God. We've passed from death unto life. And we know the Lord. And it says this, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. We're talking about the manner of love. God manifested His love toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You remember the golden text of the Bible? It says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God manifested that love through the gift of His Son. And I'm glad and thankful today that God loved us and God made a way for us to be saved from our sins. And we just pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to somebody in some way. And if you haven't yet come to know the Lord Jesus, it's the most important thing in life is being saved by God's grace. And God loves you and God wants to save you. And if you will come to him, realizing and recognizing that you're a sinner and that you're separated from God and that you're not a child of God. And if you have the desire to be a child of God and you come to Jesus and you confess your sins to him, you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you ask him to forgive you and to save you, the Lord will save, you know. And so we just want you to get right with God. In these perilous times in which we live, perhaps many people's hearts are being turned toward God because they realize how dangerous, you know, this virus is and all of the problems that it has created in this nation, you know. And many people don't know what they're going to do. The best thing you could do would be turn to Jesus. And if you find Him and you find the forgiveness of sins and the joy of the Lord comes into your heart, you'll know that you have a source that you can turn to, you know. And the Lord said, I think I quoted this maybe last week on the program, but it's found in the book of Hebrews. And it says that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Jesus will be your helper. I hope that you'll realize that today. You'll turn to the Lord Jesus and to get saved. So that's my message for you this morning. And we do have one more song that we want to share with you today. And you know, we look forward to a time when we're going to all answer the roll call, all of us who have been saved, you know, and we will enter into the joy of the Lord. And so I want you to listen to the words of this song. Join in and sing with us, please.
Number 55. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather over on beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll